This is Ozarks at Large. A University of Arkansas professor is heading to the Arctic to be part of a scientific team that will research the impact of climate change on that environment. Peter Ungar, a distinguished professor of anthropology, will be one of about 20 researchers who will focus on the Yamal Peninsula in Russian Siberia. The scientists will be looking at how climate change has an impact on plants, animals, and infrastructure in the region. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek spoke with him about how his research will impact our understanding of climate change around the world.
Have there been studies like this before that take this holistic approach to studying climate change?
Well, most studies like this have been done piecemeal. They're done either on, say, the impacts on the animals, or the impacts on the plants, or even specific species of animals, or the peoples. But rarely is it done sort of holistically to look sort of at the synergy and interactions of the different elements with one another.
And what kind of a difference do you think that'll make to have all these researchers and experts looking at climate change together in one place?
Well, look, climate change is going to have and is having an incredibly complex impact on our planet, whether we're talking about global warming or extreme weather, and we're hoping to look at both. If we're going to understand that, we need as many tools as possible and as many different experts in as many different areas as possible. Because you've got all these feedback loops, right? Because the impact of, say, I don't know, extreme weather on the vegetation is going to feed back into the animals, and that's going to feed back into the people, and that's going to feed back into the infrastructure, and that's going to feed back into the abiotic, the non-life part of the environment.
So why the Yamal Peninsula? Why go there to study climate change?
Oh, it's really cool. It's several hundred kilometers in length, and it actually runs from boreal forest in the south, these big pine trees, up to tundra desert in the north, and it's bounded in the north edge by the Arctic Ocean. And so it's this completely enclosed area that spans four of the five different major ecosystems represented by the Arctic. And it's all in this one, again, enclosed area. And that's going to make for almost a microcosm of what's going on in the Arctic as a whole. And so it'll be possible to understand things in this confined area that hopefully we can extrapolate from to understand the bigger picture.
How can you take that small of an area and apply it to what's happening in other places?
Because we're focusing on the processes, not what's happening to specific animals, but how, say, extreme weather is, say, in the wintertime, it's going to get warmer and you're going to get these rains, right? And those are going to turn into ice. And that ice is going to completely cover the tundra. And so the reindeer aren't going to be able to burrow in to what's normally snow, but is now ice, to eat. And so they're going to starve. And when they starve, the people who herd those reindeer are going to starve. And understanding these interactions between these various different elements and how climate change is impacting it, well, we can extrapolate that throughout the entire Arctic, even if the specific particular examples are in this one area.
In just the last couple of weeks, there have been reports of the huge ice melt in Greenland because of the heat wave there, and the deaths of hundreds of reindeer in Norway that had starved to death. Why is the Arctic so particularly susceptible to climate change?
Well, it's actually an interesting phenomenon because as the Arctic goes, the rest of the world goes. The Arctic is covered in ice, right? And because it's covered in ice, ice has a high reflectance, right? And so when the sun's light hits the ice, it bounces back out. That keeps the Arctic cool most times. When you wear a white shirt, you're cooler than when you wear a black shirt. When the ice melts, well, the underlying ocean is darker, and so heat becomes absorbed. And this phenomenon just feeds back on itself, and the Arctic is heating much more rapidly than the rest of the world. That's a problem for two reasons. First, because as the Arctic goes, the rest of the world will follow. And second, because the Arctic contains, as you just mentioned with the Greenland ice sheets, a lot of free water that's bound up in ice. And when that free water melts, where's it going to go? Basically, we're going to flood coastal areas.
As part of this research team, you'll be leading the group that will be looking at the effects of climate change on the ecology of the people and the mammals of the Yamal Peninsula. What does that entail?
Well, at this point, this is really a planning grant. When you have a team as large as the one that we're envisioning putting together, it takes a lot of work to plan a major research project. And so we're going to meet twice with this group of 20 scientists, with the local stakeholders. We're going to meet with the Nenets peoples. We're going to meet with the owners of the hydrocarbon extraction industry companies. We're going to meet with government officials. And we're going to basically plan out a much larger scale project, hopefully a seven-figure project. And in order to accomplish this and bring as many scientists in and integrate them, we've got to have these planning projects.
And what are you most looking forward to in doing this kind of research?
Well, personally, it's a new focus and a new direction for me in terms of my research. I study teeth and the evolution of human diet, and I study how climate change over deep time made us human. But this is something entirely different. It's something that has not just interest, but actually relevance to today. And trying to get a better understanding of how all these different parts come together, interacting with all these brilliant scientists from all over the world, these things are what gets me excited about the project.
So speaking of today, climate change, highly politicized in this country, a lot of people still deny it's happening. Do you think a research project of this magnitude would change some minds?
I don't think so. I think people are pretty well set in their beliefs. On the other hand, if you look at the polls, you'll see, and I don't mean the North and South polls, I mean the political polls, I think you'll find that more and more people are actually acknowledging that the world's climates are changing, whether those are due to anthropogenic or human-induced causes or natural causes. I think most people are now coming to terms with the fact. It's hard to deny. All you've got to do is walk outside and see it happening. So I see that as less of an issue today than perhaps 5 years ago.
Since the goal of this research is to see how climate change impacts all these different facets of the environment, is there a hope that this knowledge will perhaps allow us to be better prepared for what's coming in
That's
the future?
Exactly right. A lot of folks who work in the Arctic, and myself as well, feel it's probably too late to reverse it. We're past the tipping point, at least for the Arctic. And as a result, the best we can hope to do is prepare for the future. And by understanding the feedback loops, the different mechanisms involved, we can better predict what's going to happen in our future, and we can take actions now that will hopefully allow us to deal with and handle it.
So at this point, what does our future look like?
Well, even if we stop producing carbon and emitting it and putting it into the atmosphere, temperatures are going to continue to rise because of the lag that's involved, because of the phenomenon that I've already discussed with the albedo or the reflectance of the pole. We're at least as far as the Arctic goes, presumably past that point. It's kind of too late. The actions we take today can slow down the process, we believe. But at this point, it's really a matter of preparing for the future and trying to figure out how to accommodate to it as best we can.
You mentioned that this part of the research is the planning phase. So what will your next 2 years on this project look like?
Well, for me, what it's going to look like is I'm going to develop a course that's going to be team taught between the University of Arkansas and the University of Michigan. We're going to have guest speakers in this course from all over the world. I'm going to meet a couple of times in the Yamal itself up in Siberia. And we are going to plan this major grant initiative. We're going to take students with us up there. And we're basically going to put together a strategy for understanding sort of holistically from the perspective of the air, the sea, the land, the plants, the animals, the people, and the infrastructure that's currently there, how best to plan moving forward and how best to study all these different elements and how they interact with one another.
So have you been to the Arctic before?
I've been to the Arctic, but not this region.
So how do you prepare for a trip like that?
Take warm clothes. We're going in the spring and the fall.
Okay.
And we're doing that on purpose. We've got about 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night. And what's going to be really fun is it's reindeer days in Salekhard, which is the capital town of this, the most northern point that you can get to with commercial flights in Siberia. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll go, and that'll also mean that we're going to be able to interact with more of the nenets, the local folks, because it's kind of their Olympics of the north.
Yeah, I read the Yamal region has the largest domesticated reindeer population.
Oh yeah, it's insane. And these people are living a traditional lifestyle that they've lived for literally hundreds and hundreds of years.
And they're seeing pretty dramatic changes, I imagine.
Well, there's a combination of factors involved. It's the global warming is changing the tundra, making some of it impassable. And so that affects the migration patterns of the reindeer, the infrastructure that's there, these hydrocarbon extraction platforms also impact and curtail the migration routes of these animals. And of course, the extreme weather and what we call the ice on snow events are basically starving these poor animals who can't burrow in under the snow to get at the moss in the wintertime during their winter grazing season.
And what are the hydrocarbon extraction platforms that you mentioned? What business is that with?
It's mostly natural gas.
Okay.
This region produces more natural gas than any other part of Russia, and it's one of the largest and most profitable natural gas industries in the entire world. And you know, we're not trying to stop that. That's not the goal here. The goal here is to work with them to form a partnership that will hopefully benefit them and its people and benefit them. Because if we can learn what the impacts are going to be of climate change, we can help them better prepare their own infrastructure for those changes.
Thank you so much for stopping by and telling us about this research that you'll be doing.
Thank you.
That was Peter Ungar, a distinguished professor of anthropology at the University of Arkansas, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. The research project is funded by a nearly $240,000 grant from the National Science Foundation.